most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin. That we get started here, the Roman Show MMA, this lovely Thursday, January 19th, transmitting live from Miami, Florida. Hopefully everyone out there listening to us on the Roman Show is having a great time here in Miami while we're enjoying the basketball game between the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers as the Heat are kicking the butt right now. But it's time to talk a little about mixed martial arts. Get ready for the big fight tomorrow night on FX, the UFC debuting on the FX network as UFC on FX number one takes place tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about that event. Also, the fallout of UFC 142, which happened last Saturday in Brazil. We'll talk a little about that and the outcome. And anything else that has occurred in the world of mixed martial arts, especially with the huge segment they made on ESPN and in reference to the Ultimate Fight Championship and the money and how much fighters get paid. Dana White stated, the president of the company, that it was unfair. It was definitely unbiased. And it seemed that, heck, you know, they're doing this stuff for the UFC. Why not do it for the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and so much more? Why did you have to pick on the UFC? Dana White posted on social media and other websites the unedited interview where Lorenzo actually states everything out there. So it's not really just edited a certain way to sound a certain way. And Dana White also had fighters like Forrest Griffin, Matt Serra speak on how the UFC has helped them become very wealthy. But we'll discuss this and so much more. We'll also talk a little bit about Bellator, what's going on as they're going to jumpstart their season soon. But joining me, like always, my co-host on the Mixed Martial Arts Program, Mr. Guillermo, MMA Encyclopedia Garcia. How are you doing, Guillermo?
Everything's great, man. We just came off a great pay-per-view in Brazil there, and big-time fight tomorrow in the lightweight division between Gallard and Jim Miller. That's going to be huge.
And speaking about big, boy, do we have big guests tonight. Because we have a full stack program. UFC, former UFC champ Sean Sherk will be on the program. A former lightweight champion. It's been some time since we've seen him in action inside the cage, so we're going to catch up with him.
Is he going to come back to the UFC? How is he healing? How's the rehab going? He last defeated his last opponent, so he fought back in 2010 as he defeated Evan Dunham. By decision, but what's going on? Is he going to come back? What can we expect from this former champion? And also, on the program, he has already had a phenomenal day. He started off in the UFC with his debut, a phenomenal fight. He won, and the guy is a rising star in the sport, and we're talking about Ricardo Lamas, who trained out of MMA Masters in Miami, Florida. He actually will be fighting on February 4th for the UFC 143 against Dustin Poirier. He's actually, Lamas is replacing an injured Eric Kutch. So Lama stepped up to the game. He's ready to go and ready to prove that he is worthy of a title shot. So Ricardo Lamas will be on the program along with Master Daniel Valverde, who is a master in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He trained with American Top Team. He was a top coach there for some time. And then now he's working out of MMA Masters here in Miami, Florida. Also on the program, we're going to have Aaron Ard, who's going to tell us if you guys want to place your bets and get a little cash while you watch the fight tomorrow night, head on over to countermove.com. That's counter with a K, countermove.com. Aaron is going to call in. He's going to give you his predictions, who, how, and how to play this game and possibly get a little extra cash in your pocket. So Aaron Ard will be calling in, and so we're going to have this countermove.com segment. Also, from 7:90 a.m., the ticket at a Fighter's Fury, the program airs every Sunday at 10 a.m. Alex Dono will be calling us in as well. Later on in the program, we'll talk a little bit of MMA with him as far as the fight on Friday, tomorrow night, and also what's going on here in the local scene in Miami, Florida. We're going to give away some tickets, too. Guys, you have any questions, you want to talk to us, head on over to Twitter, at RomanDH, or you want to ask a question for Guillermo, head on over to Twitter and tweet him at @StoneFace16. I think I am out of breath, Guillermo, because this show is packed. And the Roman show has been everywhere, man. I don't know if you've been keeping up with our news, Guillermo, but we were yesterday last night at the NWA event over there in Fort Lauderdale. We got an opportunity to interview TNA superstar, or former TNA superstar, Jesse Neal, Billy Gunn, part of D-Generation X back in the day, and Martin, Mosh and Trasher from the Headbangers. So, reminder, guys, we will be giving you the full scoop on WrestleMania weekend. And just stay tuned. Watch out for all the videos that's going to be posted on YouTube. But enough about wrestling. Just wanted to put that in there as we have our program every Tuesday at 10 p.m. But with that being said, Guillermo, let's start off with the news.
News of the day.
All right, Australia might be awarded a second international edition of the Ultimate Fighter. The show would feature Australia versus the UK. Brazil was the first. The series would film later this year if the deal is finalized. Eric Silva wants a change of his disqualification decision change, and you could get an answer next week. UFC Vice President of Regulatory Affairs Mark Ratner assured a review of the Silva versus Carlo Trotter, which took place Saturday at UFC 142. Silva was disqualified by Mario Yamasaki, the referee, after 29 seconds for illegal hit to the back of the head. UFC commentator Joe Rogan immediately called out Yamasaki live on pay-per-view during a post-interview. We'll talk about that because that was huge, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, there was just some breaking news like minutes before the show started. And
like
Mark
that.
Ratner, the UFC regulatory affairs guy, he's decided not to overturn that decision.
So
and it will remain as a disqualification.
Wow.
They already came out and said it like a minute or two ago.
And there it is. Thank you so very much for updating that. You got to keep me up to date with that. Wow. There it is. Breaking news. That's right. The law stands. It is what it is. They're not changing that stuff. All right, a rumored fight between former UFC heavyweight champ Cain Velasquez and Antonio Silva will not happen. Silva is targeted to debut in the UFC in April, but has no opponent. Turning now to Bellator news, Bellator Fighting Championship Season 6 featherweight tournament quarterfinals is now official. Bellator 61 takes place in March, with featherweight champ Joe Warren headlining against Pat Curran. So that's going to be an exciting season there for Bellator. And as Guillermo stated, it was breaking news. We just posted just less than 30 minutes ago, actually, that you're right. UFC makes ruling on Eric Silva's UFC 142 disqualification. The law stands. There it is. There is no overruling of that. It stays as it is. And also, we're getting another news here that just broke, and that's Legacy Fighting Championships middleweight title holder Andrew Craig has replaced injured Jared Hammond and now meets fellow middleweight Kyle Nook at March's UFC on FX number 2 event. That's some news that also broke about 40 minutes ago, and that's going to be UFC on FX card, which is going to be headlined by Thiago Alves and Martin Kattman. That's going to be taking place in March. Well, Guillermo, we have a lot to talk about, and in just a few minutes, we're going to be reaching out to former UFC champ Sean Sherk. Your thoughts on Sean? It's been 2 years, a little more than 2 years, actually, since we last saw this, about 2 years, sorry, that we last saw this man fight inside the octagon.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great champion. He started off with one of the sickest records I've ever seen. His first, like, 29 fights, he was, like, 28-1. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's incredible. His only loss being to Matt Hughes when he fought for the welterweight title, and he went all 25 minutes with Matt. He was here in Miami, actually, in UFC 42. And, you know, at that time, Hughes was, like, unbeatable, and this guy went all 25 minutes with Hughes. It's actually still the only time that Hughes has fought all 25 minutes with anybody. And, you know, that was Sean Sherk. He's a true lightweight. He fought Hughes at welterweight, which is not even his weight class. So that shows you how great he is. And the other thing that a lot of people aren't aware of, he's only lost four times ever. And the four times that he's lost, all current or former UFC champs. Matt Hughes, George St. Pierre, Frankie Edgar, and BJ Penn, all former champs. He has not lost to any nobodies. Every nobody that he's faced or anybody with a name who's not a champ, he's beaten. You know what I mean? So the guy, he only loses to the best if he's going to lose to anybody at all.
And he has fought not only in the UFC but in Pride as well. And if you want any information on Sean, head on over to SeanSherk.com. You can check up any upcoming appearances. And currently, as you stated, the record is sick. Right now, currently, he has 36 wins with only 4 losses. So that means he has 41 fights. That's an amazing record, Guillermo, and only losing to the best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an incredible accomplishment, and you got to take into account that for the majority of his career, there was no such thing as a lightweight division, a 155-pound division. Most of the time, he's just fighting out of his weight class at 170, and when he went, like, 28-1, what I said, like, I would say that, like, 5 or less of those fights was at lightweight. There was no UFC lightweight division for most of those years. So, like, basically, he was just going around the world, taking whatever fights he could and getting wins. And, you know, to his credit, he fought bigger guys and won. Towards the last few years of his career, though, he's gotten away from his wrestling background, which is what he used to win most of his fights. And he's trying to become more fan-friendly, get more of those fight-of-the-night bonuses and stuff. So he's been relying on his striking, which is not exactly his best, feature. But he's still come out on top more often than he's lost. You know, so it's still – he's a very, very good fighter. And hopefully he won't have too much ring rust when he comes back here.
And, guys, if you want to call into the program, head on over to grab your phone. 714-868-0222 is the number to call in. Or you can find us on Twitter, at RomanDH. You tweet us. We will answer your question here, or we can ask Sean or Ricardo later on during the program that question that you have. And that's the number, again, to call in, 714-868-0222, or tweet us, at RomanDH. Yeah, I'm excited to interview Sean again. It's been some time since we last heard from him. He's doing a lot of appearances throughout the country, and he actually stated in one of his past posts on Facebook that he might be, from my last read, be going to your future hometown of Australia, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would be great if he came down here. And, you know, with the Australia thing, with the Ultimate Fighter, they're really trying to grow the sport in that part of the world. And, you know, we already have a few fighters in UFC from Australia. But, you know, with the Ultimate Fighter and with all these other things that are going on, with more events, I think you're going to see a lot more MMA fighters coming out of there and joining the UFC.
That's it. All right, let's get a hold of former UFC champion Sean Sherk on the phone, as we're going to reach out to him right now, as he's expecting us. Guys, if you have any information, RodolfoRoman.com is the number for any information as far as a program. And you can catch up with future guests, RodolfoRoman.com.
Hello.
Hey, Sean, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show, sir.
What's up?
All right, Sean. First and foremost, I would like to welcome you. You're with the host, Rodolfo Roman, and my co-host, Guillermo Garcia. Sean, how you feeling, my man? It's been some time.
Feel good. I'm training every day and just doing my thing, you know, helping the guys get ready for upcoming fights and stuff like that. So Just doing my thing.
And, Sean, I know you have a lot of appearances coming up. You've been stating out there that they want to have you in their gym or in their location. Tell us what's up. Where can people see you at your upcoming appearance?
Well, I got a big one coming up in Australia. Doing a bunch of stuff over there. Going to be at the Arnold Classic this year. Trying to stay as busy as I can in the meantime.
So tell me about this. It's been some time since we last saw you in the Octagon. You were doing through some rehab there. You had a rash of injuries. But how's your body right now? What was limiting you from getting back into action? And percentage-wise, where are you right now? When can we expect you to fight again?
I feel good. You know, I mean, I'm battling injuries. That's just the way it is. You know, you're not going to find a professional fighter in this industry that's not beat up and battling injuries. I don't want to get in the details, but, you know, just stuff that needs to be dealt with. I want to be 100% when I do fight. As far as the date, you know, I mean, I don't have anything set at this moment, but I think I should be ready to go relatively soon.
And, Sean, if anyone wants to book you for any of your appearances, folks, you can hand it over to SeanShirk.com. You can find all the information there as far as booking Sean for an upcoming appearance. Guillaume, we have a question for Sean.
Yeah, Sean, now, when you do return, what are your goals here for the last few fights of your career? Are you just trying to get a couple of good victories here to cement your status, or are you really trying to make a run at the lightweight title again?
Well, I think right now, I mean, I would love another shot at the world title, but I got to work my way up the ladder just like everybody else. You know, I think I'm maybe one or two good wins away. So at this point in time, I just want to fight top contenders. I'm not interested in fighting any up-and-coming guys or anyone trying to make a name for themselves. I want to fight somebody who has a name and somebody if I beat them, it's going to move me up the ladder.
Gotcha. And, Sean, you know, the 155 division, you know, it didn't exist for a lot of your career in the UFC, and, you know, you had to fight bigger guys, and now you're at 155 with guys more your size. Is it even possible for you to even make 145 if you wanted to, or is that not really a possibility?
No, that's not possible. I've thought about it, believe me, but making 155 is my limit. You know, I cut 20 pounds to make weight. And that's a lot of weight to be cutting. So if I did make 45, I don't think I'd be very effective there. I think I'd be cutting too much weight and lose too much muscle and probably endurance too. So I'll stay at 55. You know, I thought a little bit about fighting at 170 again, maybe a couple key fights at 170 I wouldn't mind taking. Otherwise, I'm at home at 155.
Gotcha. And in your last few fights, it seems like you've gotten away from your wrestling a bit. You've been striking more often. What was the reason for that change in your style?
Well, you know, I just started to become a lot more confident with my striking. And the fact that everyone's becoming so good at countering takedowns and everyone's so good at getting off their back when you do take them down, you know, you're forced to work all elements of the game now. You know, the majority of the beginning of my career, I was able to take guys down and just beat the heck out of them and control them on the ground. That's not the case anymore, so I've had to rely more on my boxing recently.
So sitting back at home, Sean, and seeing some of these guys in the competition, what are your thoughts on the current lightweight and the guys that you assume will be fighting again in the Octagon?
Well, I think the lightweight division is stacked. I mean, there's so many contenders in that weight class and so many guys that I think could give Frankie a real good fight. I think Frankie's a great champion. He puts on a great show. He's got tons of heart. And I think he represents the lightweight division very well. I think he's going to have a real tough fight coming up with Ben Henderson, though. I think that'll probably be the toughest fight of his reign so far. So, I mean, he's got a stacked division, and everyone's chomping at the bit to get a shot at that lightweight belt.
And with you said you were training a couple of fighters. Who have you been working with? Who have you stayed busy with?
Well, I'm helping out Nick Lentz. He's got a big fight coming up with Evan Dunham. Helping out Jake Volkman. He's on a tear in the lightweight division. Hoping to get him a contender pretty soon and start working him up the ladder. We got Dave Monet training with us. You know, he's a former first middleweight champ, UFC. We've got just tons of up-and-coming guys, professional guys that are that are working their way up to get into the UFC. So we've got a great academy we're at, you know. I mean, we got tons of great guys and tons of guys you guys are going to be hearing from real soon.
Guillermo, any questions for Sean?
Yeah, Sean, you've been around the sport a long time. Talk to us about the evolution of the sport and how the fighters have changed over time and what you've witnessed throughout your career.
Well, the evolution is, it's been amazing since the beginning of my career. When I first started fighting, you know, there was a lot of one-dimensional guys out there, and now everybody's three-dimensional, you know. Not only skill set-wise, guys are getting better, but just athletes, you know, so many great athletes out there that are able to utilize these skills and plus their athleticism, and it's been amazing. You know, you got guys out there like John Jones is a perfect example. You know, that guy is just phenomenal. And then you look at like Frankie Edgar and George St. Pierre and all those guys. You know, I mean, the evolution's been just amazing to watch, and it's been a great opportunity for me and a great experience for me to be a part of this industry since its beginning.
Gotcha. Now, you've been talking about being a possible candidate for the UFC Hall of Fame one of these days. And looking at your career record, you have a phenomenal record. You got off to an amazing start. I think it was something like 28-1 or something like that. Your only losses have been the UFC champs. Talk to us about your credentials and why you feel so strongly about this.
Well, I think I've earned my place, but it's not my decision to make. You know, there's a lot of other great fighters out there that I feel they've earned their place as well. You know, I mean, my credentials speak for themselves. You know, I've fought for two world titles in two different weight classes. I've been ranked top in the world in two different weight classes, and I've beaten a lot of top 10 guys, you know, probably a dozen guys, top 10 ranking guys, and only guys that have been beat is by world champs. So I think my credentials have earned me a spot, but like I said, it's not my decision to make. So if it happens, great. I think it'll definitely be a milestone in my career, and if it doesn't, then, you know, what do you do?
Yeah. How much longer do you want to keep on fighting?
My goal initially was to fight till I was 40, so I got a couple of years left. I just want to fight for as long as I can. You know, I don't want to put a number or a time frame on it. I just want to fight as long as my body and my mind will let me continue to do so.
And Sean, something that's been buzzing on the internet, this segment they had on the ESPN, not sure if you got a chance to see it or you were informed of, regarding the finances of UFC, stating that some of the fighters in the undercard weren't getting paid as much. And ESPN did this whole investigation and tried to compare it to the NFL and the NBA and so forth. Have you had a chance to see that segment?
No, I haven't seen that. You know, I mean, I guess just judging by what you said, you know, I mean, I think the undercard guys, they got to work their way up the ladder just like everybody else. You know, I mean, I worked my way up the ladder to get to where I am. And, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity and the sport's still growing and it's still getting bigger. And, you know, everyone's time is going to come. You know, if you just keep winning fights and you're exciting and the fans love you and your opportunities will come too.
And especially for young guys, Sean, some guys that fight at local promotions. I mean, the UFC is the top dog, but local promotions that are making pretty much peanuts, or some are just making pretty much even nothing. What's your advice to them to become a fighter and to keep them motivated and proceed in the sport?
Well, as an up-and-coming fighter, it's really hard to fight full-time and be this your only source of income, you know. I mean, I worked a full-time job my first 15 pro fights. I was a UFC veteran, and I was still working a full-time job. I spent the next 4 or 5 years after that working part-time jobs, and I worked all the way up until I won the world title. When I beat Kenny, I was still working part-time at that point in time. There just wasn't enough money to sustain you know, the income, the bills that I had. So that's what I had to do, and that's what I tell a lot of guys to do. It's unfortunate, but, you know, at the lower level, there's no sponsors, and you're not making a lot of money. So you got to do what you got to do, and you got to pay those bills, you know, so whatever it takes.
And Sean, so where's your next appearance so people can know about it? And again, if you have any information, SeanShirk.com is the website to check it out. Where can people check you out next time?
The next one's going to be in Australia. I've got a tour over there, and then I'll be at the Arnolds. And as far as what comes after that, you know, I guess I'm pretty open. So I try to book as much stuff as I can because I like to stay busy. and, you know, doing seminars and stuff like that. Got tons of tough stuff to teach, so seems like everyone has a good time.
All right. Do you have a final question for Sean?
No, no, Sean, I just have a lot of respect for you. Thanks for being on the show, man. You've been a pleasure to have on here, and hopefully we get to interview you again sometime.
All right. Appreciate that, guys. Also, too, you guys can also email trainingmass.com. That's my training mass that we have, and that our product's been doing really well as well. So,
what's that email again, Sean?
Trainingmass.com is the website. If you email, you can get a hold of me on that website as well.
All righty, Sean. There you go. So check out SeanTrick.com, and one more time, plug that website you mentioned.
Trainingmass.com.
There you go. Sean, thank you so very much, and we look forward to seeing you fighting again in the octagon, and you're always welcome here on the program, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good night, champ. Thank you so very much. Well, wow. A veteran of the sport, Guillermo, a veteran of the sport, and not only a veteran, but a future Hall of Famer we just had here in the program with a lot of opinions, and he's ready to go, Guillermo. It's just a matter of time until we're going to see him again in the octagon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a great fighter. He's a pioneer of the sport. You know, he's been around since the 90s. You know, anybody who's been around from the 90s, I mean, that's incredible that he's still relevant, that he's still able to win. Most of those guys from the 90s, they got passed a long time ago, like Ken Shamrock and those type of guys, and they're just losing more often than they win. But this guy's been able to keep up and evolve and keep on improving, and he's managed to stay competitive even against these younger, bigger guys. These better, you know, these athletes that are in their prime. He's still able to keep up with them. So it's amazing what he's done.
Yeah, and you know, just a matter of excitement to see this man return back into the sport and what he has to offer. And you're right, 39 and a phenomenal record, only 4 losses to guys that were champs.
Yep.
Not many could gloat about that. And from Sean Sherk, we're going to go ahead and speak to Ricardo Lamas, who is an up-and-coming phenom, I would say, in the UFC. He trains out of here at MMA Masters. He's had a great record so far in the UFC. He was also fighting in the WEC, and he has an upcoming fight in February in the Diaz and Condit pay-per-view. Your thoughts on Ricardo, Guillermo?
Yeah, Ricardo, I mean, he's got a lot of buzz going around him right now. You know, ever since losing his first WEC bout, ever since then, he's gone 6-1 between the WEC and the UFC. So, I mean, yeah, he's definitely a rising star. He's only got, like I said, a couple losses in WEC and UFC, and they were to other, you know, great fighters. So, you know, he's beaten some good names. Bart Parlashevsky, who's ranked 8th in the division. He's facing Dustin Poirier next, who's a top-5 guy, and with a win could get the next title shot. So he has a huge opportunity here to really improve his stock in the division and make himself a contender. If he could beat Poirier, especially if he beats him impressively, he can definitely get his name in there as a possible contender for Jose Aldo.
And he trains out of MMA Masters with Daniel Valverde, who we're also going to have here, the master Brazilian jiu-jitsu expert who has won a numerous amount of championships in Brazil, and he also fought or performed in Abu Dhabi as well. And the man just has a history and has trained top guys, MMA master producing great fighters such as Luis Babun Palomino, who recently knocked out Charles Bennett at a recent CFA program here in Coral Gables. So the man has a huge listing as far as experience in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And he was also part of American Top Team, the biggest school here in Florida. And I believe Joe Rogan quoted as one of the top schools for MMA.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it was ATT, and there was another school which escapes my mind that he also gave and coined them as one of the top schools. I think it was Jackson, wasn't it?
Yeah, the top gyms are always going to be like your ATTs, AKA, the Craig Jackson's Academy. Those are always at the top of every list. And, you know, if you count Brazil Black House, you know, that's definitely always up there. So those are the top gyms that have been the top gyms for a long time now.
There it is. All right, so we're going to reach out to Danielle, and then we're going to reach out to Ricardo. We're going to have both of them here on the Roman Show with Rudolph Roman, your host, and Guillermo Garcia. And you can find them on Twitter at Stoneface.
Hello, this is Daniel.
Hey, Daniel, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show. How you doing?
Hi, Dwayne. I'm doing good, brother. How you guys doing?
Well, we're wonderful. Daniel, before we go ahead and reach out to Ricardo, I want to let folks know about this great event you guys coming up later this month, and that's Premier Fight League. It's an amateur league featuring top guys from local gyms down here. Tell the people where it's going to be at and what you guys are bringing to South Florida.
Yes, we try, man, to find new talents and, you know, promote the MMA in Miami. We know the sport is growing a lot, so also we have a gym, the MMA Masters, we have a lot of guys here, amateur guys, so we decided to put this show together, CFA supporting us. The show is going to be on January 27 in downtown Miami, at the Grand Central. The address is 697 North Miami Avenue. So it's going to take place in downtown Miami. It's just coming up a week. We really can't wait for that.
So we have a local talent out there facing off against each other. So this is the future of the sport. You're going to be seeing them in downtown Miami come around.
Yes, we're going to have guys from different gyms fighting. It's going to be a nice show, a nice venue. And it's going to be very, very nice. The idea is promote the sport and find new talents for sure.
And then tell us about where can people purchase tickets? Where can they call a number or can they find it on the internet?
Yeah, we can call 786-975-7572. PremierFightLeague.com. You can find online. Or we can go to MMA Masters Gym. We're selling tickets there as well.
MMA Masters Gym, they could go. And the phone number again?
786-975-7573.
Wonderful. There you go. That's the number to call. 786-975-7573 to purchase tickets for the upcoming Premier Fight League taking place January 27th. Not too far away, so make sure you purchase your tickets right now. You want to make sure you're there for the debut of this great program that you're going to see some great fighters out there. And not only are you going to see the up-and-comers, but you might see stars maybe like Luis Palomino there too, Daniel?
Luis Palomino, Ricardo Lamas, Bebe Monstro, Valdir Araújo, going to have Vitor Delgado, a lot of pro fighters, CFA fighters, UFC fighters, Bellator fighters, a lot of famous people for sure, a lot of great fighters are going to be there watching.
And we'll be there. You can definitely count on us and everyone else out there listening to the Roman Show. Make sure you purchase your tickets. The number is 786-975-7573 or MMAMastersGym.com to purchase tickets. With that being said, Dan and Guillermo, let's reach out to Ricardo as we're going to talk to him about his upcoming match, or his fight, sorry, in the UFC as he's getting prepared. And he's training over there at MMA Masters with the likes of Dan and great fighters like Luis Palomino and so much more. And Cesar Caineiro as well, Dan.
Great stand-up coach, man.
Yes, right. And Caineiro being in several movies himself.
Yes.
Hi,
the Quest.
Sorry, I couldn't get to your call. Teaching
he's
a message.
He's probably occupied, or he's probably waiting for us, Dan. But we're getting a hold of Ricardo soon. But Cesar, yeah, not only a great stand-up fighter, but he's a star.
Yeah, he's a star, man. He's a star. He's also jiu-jitsu purple belt, capoeira master, you know, Muay Thai. He lived in Thailand for a few months. He did boxing. So he's the MMA guy, the MMA coach for sure. Great, you know. We're building a lot of machines there.
And Dan, tell me about yourself, because you have a long history. You have a great history yourself in Brazil. I remember speaking to you a couple of times and telling me about the history that one time you want to be a soccer player because it's the number one sport in Brazil. But
yeah, everybody wants to be a soccer player in Brazil, but with me it was different. My father is a judo black belt, so I born on the mat because my father, you know, he still own a gym in Brazil. So I started training judo when I was 5, and then everybody plays jiu-jitsu in Brazil. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is very, very popular. So when I turned 14, 15, I started training jiu-jitsu too and competing. So I've been to the judo and jiu-jitsu my whole life. I was no gi world champion in jiu-jitsu. I was national judo champion in Brazil, South American university champion judo too. So I've been training for a long, long time. I'm 35 now, so it's almost 30 years training.
Wow, and that, but you originally, you were with the American Top Team for some time.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I'm friends with the owner, Daniel Lambert. He's a good friend of mine. And when I came to U.S., I met him. He invited me to stay. And they have a great gym and very nice people. Marcel Ibori is my friend. So I trained there for a couple of years, I think 2 or 3 years. And then, you know, the team was, American Top Team is a huge team. It's big. I decided to do my own thing. And besides that, being Broward, I was living in Miami. So I decided to do my own gym, have my own team. But we're still cool. We compete against each other, but we're still friends. And I have a lot of friends there still.
And that's a lot of fun, because I see you guys and you face off with American Top Team. It's kind of like, you know, like, kind of like two football teams going at it. I mean, it's, you definitely see that unity when you see the ATT and MMA Masters and even the crowd themselves, the supporters. It's a lot of fun when both of you guys take on each other or have a fighter representing each team and fight each other inside the cage. It's a lot of fun witnessing this stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun for us. It's great because we know they've been here for a long time. They have great fighters. They have, you know, good coaches. And for us, we know when we're going to fight against them, we have to train. We train hard every day anyway, but we know it's going to be a tough fight. So for us, every time we win against them, it's good for us and keep us moving forward. And it's a good competition, you know, because you know, competition is good and make you work harder.
Right. Dan, I think we have Ricardo now. Ricardo, you're on the Roman Show.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, no, thank you, Ricardo. And again, we got Daniel Valverde of MMA Masters and my co-host Guillermo Garcia. Ricardo, welcome to the show, my man. You're getting ready for your fight. We're just a few weeks away. You replaced a fighter who got hurt, but how are you preparing for this fight, man, working out with MMA Masters?
I was getting ready for that fight, but I actually got injured and had to pull out.
Oh, no.
So I'm actually just trying to heal up now and stay on top of my physical therapy. And as soon as I'm healed up and ready to go, I'm going to see if I can get back in the cage as soon as possible.
And tell us about your injury. What injury did you get out there training?
Yeah, I was actually training in Chicago at the time when it happened. And I had pulled a muscle doing some weightlifting and pulled it again a few days later. And then a few days after that, I was sparring. I was doing some boxing and ended up hurting it and got a partial tear in my pectoral muscle and the tendon. So it's about a 4 to 6 week recovery with therapy. It's what I'm doing right now.
You know, with injuries, Ricardo, at any time, any place, and you don't even have to be training. Maybe you could just be walking and you mess up your ankle. But is there a way? What do fighters try to do to prevent this stuff? I mean, they try their best.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, good training partners are really the key to not being injured. You know, you gotta train with guys who are smart and know how to push it, but not push too much and not try to come after you and take your head off, you know, and sparring or something like that. And just really, you know, it's really about the training partners and your coaches that are there watching you and, you know, they'll let you know if you're going too hard or not, you know, and it's just really being careful and trying to take care of each other while you're training with each other.
Guillermo, you have a question for Dan, for Ricardo?
Yeah, Ricardo, you've been on quite a roll lately with the WEC and the UFC. You won like 6 out of your last 7 fights. Where do you think you currently stand in the featherweight division? And how many wins do you think it'll take to get you to the title shot, you think?
I definitely think I'm climbing the ranks. You know, I've been kind of doing it quietly. I've been on a lot of undercards and stuff, so not too many people know who I am because of that. But I'm climbing up there, and I think that if I keep performing the way that I have been in my last 2 fights and keep winning and keep finishing the fights, most importantly, that I don't think they'd be able to deny me for too long of a title shot. So hopefully if I keep performing the way that I have been, maybe 3 or 4 more fights, I'm not sure, it's really up to the UFC, but That's what I'm going to try to do.
Gotcha. And Ricardo, you know, everybody says, you know, it's not the wins that you learn so much from, but for the losses. I mean, what have your losses in your career taught you? And tell us what those improvements that you've made, what are they and what you think you still need to work on?
Both of my losses came from a TKO, and they definitely – I learned a lot from both of them. I was – you know, I get – sometimes I get a little too comfortable, and I'll drop my hands a little bit, and, you know, that's what can put you in trouble. So I've definitely learned from that to keep my hands up at all times. And, you know, coming from my wrestling background, I've had hundreds of matches, and, you know, I've lost matches, I've won matches, and – it's really about learning from your mistakes and coming back stronger and coming back hungrier. And, you know, that's what I've also carried over into MMA from wrestling.
And Ricardo, tell us about training over there at MMA Masters, as we have the Master Dan here on the show.
It's awesome. I came out here, I was training for a fight back when I was in the WEC, and we came out here just by chance, kind of to just break up the monotony of training in Chicago. And we came out for a week, and I had met Daniel before a couple of years back. I took one of his classes when I was out here on, you know, vacation, and my trainer from Chicago had some friends that were going to Daniel's gym, so we went up there, and it was really an eye-opening experience for me because I came in, and I don't know if you know Luis Baboon Palomino. He's a, you know, one of my best training partners now, but at the time I walked into the gym and immediately within like 10 minutes of being there, they throw me in the cage with this guy and he kind of beat me up a little bit. And then after that, I start to roll with Daniel and he choked me out about 50 times in 2 minutes. And I had like a sore throat for 2 months after that. So really just being in that type of atmosphere and having these guys pushing me was just something that I needed. And ever since then, I've been coming back for every single fight.
Yeah, and Dan, as a teacher, tell me about Ricardo and working with him and bringing him in to the pool of great fighters that you have, Dan.
Say it again?
Bringing in Ricardo to be part of the MMA Masters team, how significant was it to the team, and how has he helped the rest of the crew over there in MMA Masters?
Man, that was great. First of all, because Rick, he's not only a great fighter, he's a great guy, a great friend. So everybody loves Rick at the gym. He works for the team. You know, he helps people too when he's training. He tries to teach. Rick is a world-class wrestler, you know. And so for us, it was amazing having like a guy like Rick. For Luis Palomino, you know, they train together. So it's very good because people always try to take Baboon down. You know, no one wants to exchange with Baboon. So for Baboon, it was great. And for all the guys, I guess, Rick is very smart, very intelligent. His jiu-jitsu now is, and I don't choke him like I used to choke anymore. So very hard now. He's a very intelligent kid. So that's why I believe Ricky will be the UFC champion. If he keeps training the way he's training, he's very smart. I teach him one technique today. The next day, he's applying when he's training. So I really believe in Rick, and for us, it's great to have Rick there as a fighter, as a friend.
That is great, Dan, and to have you here, and we look forward to seeing Ricardo in action. And not only in action, but we're going to see him January 27th at the Premier Fight League event. And again, guys, to get your tickets, you can purchase it by calling 786-975-7573 or visiting MMAMastersGym.com. It's going to be an honor to have Ricardo, such a great fighter, and Dan to put this great product together over there in downtown Miami. Ricardo, and I'm sure you yourself, you possibly have trained with some of these guys that are going to be on the show.
Yeah, I do. I train with Mike Lilly and you know, some other guys, Jose Chuchu, that are going to be on the show. And they're getting better every day. I mean, they're in there training with all those pro fighters. You know, just because they're amateurs doesn't mean anything. They're coming up and they're learning and getting better every single day.
Wow. Well, gentlemen, thank you so very much for allowing us to speak to you this evening. And we wish you the best of luck and speedy recovery on your injuries there, Ricardo. And Dan, we'll
thank
see
you
on January 27th at the big show And a big shout out there to MMA Masters. And again, guys, purchase your tickets by calling 786-975-7573 or visit MMAMastersGym.com to purchase tickets. Gentlemen, thank you so much. The Roman Show.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Thank you so much.
Obrigado. And anytime you guys want to talk to me, you're always welcome, sir.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you, Ricardo. And thank you, Dan. Thank you so very much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. All right, Guillermo. Well, great stuff they're putting out there together. And as you see, as Ricardo is getting ready for our next fight here in the Octagon in the UFC, as he's healing up. But great fighter, Ricardo Lamas. We could only expect a lot more fireworks from this young gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely. It's too bad he got injured, you know, because Dustin Poirier would have been the type of opponent that could have really launched him up into that top five. I mean, right now, as it stands, he's probably in, like, the top 10 or 15 or so. But if he could have beaten Poirier, he would have for sure been in top five and maybe only been one or two wins away from that title shot. But, you know, he'll recover. Injuries happen, you know, and it may be for the best. Maybe, you know, this was too soon to be facing this kind of opponent. But, you know, it's usually a blessing when things like this happen. And, you know, it seems like he's learning so much so quickly, and this will just give him even more time to get even better.
Yeah, it's only a time, and it's important what he mentioned as far as who your teammates are, because it really matters who you train with. You know, everybody takes care of each other, and that's very significant to avoid or prevent an injury. And that's very careful. You know, when I was in wrestling, I would remember, you know, always take care of each other. Don't go in 100% because a little thing like your thumb could ruin your career, or you could ruin your next fight. And in the UFC, well, obviously, that matters a lot more because money's on the line. You know, that's something that matters to you. But important how it is, you know, you got to take care of yourself, like if you're gold, no matter where you go or where you are, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, without your health, you don't have anything. You know, that's the most important thing, and especially for these fighters where their whole livelihoods depend on their health. You know, it's not just like you or me where, you know, we can get along, like, you know, even if our health fails a little bit. You know, with these guys, literally, they can't pay the bills. You know what I mean? So, yeah, for them, it's even that much more important. And, you know, a year lost for a fighter, I mean, at this point, is a year loss of his prime. You know what I mean? That's money that cannot be recovered. You know what I mean? That's money that you'll never get back. So it's that much more important.
Yes, sir. All right, with that, we're going to go now a segment here from countermove.com. That's counter with a K. Aaron Art is going to talk to us as far as placing your bets and placing the right money in the right time.
Hello.
For countermove.com. Welcome, Aaron, as countermove.com to the Roman Show, your segment here from countermove.com. So what do we got for tomorrow night's big UFC NFX number one, Aaron?
Well, we've got games of all shapes and sizes. You have free games. We've got games all the way up to $100. We've got a tournament, $10 tournament. It's a $750 prize pool. I think the top prize is $300. We've got everything. It's exciting.
That is great. And again, explain to these folks, countermove.com, counter with a K, how to play this game, how do they win money, what is the least amount of money they could place on a bet?
Okay, so the game is relatively simple, and if you played fantasy football or fantasy baseball, you'll recognize it pretty quickly. But basically what it is we give you, for every game, you get $25,000 fake money, and you have to buy five fighters. And we price the fighters all different amounts depending on what we view their point value is going to be. And then once you have these five fighters on your team, once the event starts, every time one of your fighters throws a punch, gets a takedown, you know, has a submission attempt, they'll get points for that. Like a strike, one punch and a connecting a punch is like half a point. You know, a takedown is 2 points, a submission attempt is 3 points. And then if they win, depending on what round they win, they get different points for there too. So if the earlier they win, if they win the first round, they get more points than if they win the third round or if they go to decision. So, and then what it basically is, if you have more points than your opponent, then you win the money. And that's what it boils down to. So what it is, if you have your friend, you invite your friend, you and your friend pay, and let's say you pay for $10, then, you know, you basically, what happens is that goes into a prize pool, and then the person has the most points wins the money. It's that simple. So it should be. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, the stakes are, we have free games, so if you're not comfortable playing, you just play free. and then the stakes go all the way up to the $100 games, the largest game we have.
That is just any tips, any suggestions, any predictions for tomorrow?
Oh yeah, there's loads. Well, I have a goal. Now they're not fighting on this card, but they're fighting in a couple weeks. Anytime a Diaz brother is on the card, that's the one you want to pick. He's fantasy gold because they just throw so many punches. But that's what you want to look for. I personally like picking guys that are lighter weights because they throw more punches and they're more active, so they get you more statistical output. But in this particular card, this is a tough card, I got to say. There's not – I mean, a lot of these fights are pretty even. But scanning through it, I like Dwayne Ludwig. He's fighting Josh Neer, and I think it's going to be kind of a stand-up fight with lots of points being thrown, lots of punches being thrown, so we'll get lots of points. But I think he's just more technical, so Dwayne Ludwig is the one I'd like to go with. That's probably it. Christian Moorcraft is another one. He's cheap. He's only like $3,500 on our site, so he's, you know, against Patrick Berry, who just somehow figures out ways to lose. That's the kind of guy I like, guys. And when you go up against a guy whose opponent likes, like, somehow figures out ways to lose, those are great tips.
Great, and that's countermove.com. That's countermove.com. It was a K, counter with a K, and it's actually being supported with Randy Couture. From here on out, Aaron, we're going to have you every single show to give us your predictions and motivate these people to possibly win some cash. And last week, we a lot of people won some money, huh?
Oh, yeah. We had, I think it was like $8,000 of prize pool money we gave away. I think the top guy, had one guy win $500 on one game. He played a 100-person game where there was 100 people in the tournament. It was $10, and he came away with $500 that he took first. And I think he was helped by Prater. He had Prater on his team who got this, you know, who Eric Silva, of course, got disqualified, and so Prater got the win points, and so I think that put him over the top, and he got $500. So there was a lot of people kind of upset, but that's the way it goes, you know.
Right. Well, Aaron, thank you so very much. Again, every show we're going to have Aaron on board telling us about who you should go for and play and get some cash. That's countermove.com. That's counter with a K. And I know they're going to have a media a game going on, so we'll make sure to participate in that one. Possibly we can win some cash there, Aaron.
Yeah, I think the next one, we're going to do one for the UFC and Fox 2. I hope you play. It's a tough game, though. There's a lot of guys in there that are good. Randy Couture won it last time we had it. So he plays in that. He's tough, let me tell you. He knows his stuff.
That is awesome. Imagine beating Randy Couture at a game.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Cool.
He plays. He plays periodically. He's not playing this week, but he'll play next week.
That is cool. Aaron, thank you so very much. ConnorMove.com. That's Connor with a K. Follow them. Go ahead on you can find them on Twitter and on Facebook. That's ConnorMove.com. Aaron, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Guillermo. Well, we have a stacked show so far, man. And now we're going to reach out to Alex. Are you going to play this week, by the way?
Oh, no, I already have put in, I'm playing three free games because I'm cheap, you know what I mean? I'm playing three of the free games. It's pretty challenging because it's not so easy where you just pick the clear favorite. Because with $25,000 and with the clear favorites being $6,000 or more each, you can't just pick five clear favorites because that's more than $25,000. So you got to pick like two or three favorites and then kind of take a chance on a couple of underdogs and pray that those underdogs perform and pull off the upset. So it's not just so easy that you just pick the clear favorites. You don't have enough free money to do so. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, with that said, Guillermo, we're going to reach out to Alex Donald. We're going to talk a little bit about UFC on FX1 tomorrow night. UFC on FX number one tomorrow night. And we're going to talk to Alex. All right, Alex, of 7:90 a.m., the ticket. Check out Fighters Fury at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. How you doing, Al?
Hey, my man. It is a pleasure to be on your show again, Rodolfo. How are you?
Oh, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go live and kicking along here with my co-host, Guillermo. And, again, listen to Alex every Sunday at 10 a.m. Every Sunday. Fighters Fury at 7:90 a.m., the ticket here in Miami, Florida. But you could check him out, too, on is it 790theticket.com?
Yeah, if you go to 790theticket.com/FightersFury, no apostrophe, it'll take you right to my show page. You can check out, you know, archived shows, podcasts, blogs, and you can also go to actually FightersFury.com. We have an independent website as well. You know, there's not as much show content on there, but there's MMA news and whatnot and promotional material.
Sweet. Alex, let's talk a little bit about the UFC on FX tomorrow night. Number one, it debuts on FX. What's your thoughts? What can we expect tomorrow night, Al?
Well, I mean, I'm a hardcore fan. I'm an MMA junkie, as are you, as is Guillermo. So we're going to be pumped up about this card no matter what. Decent main event between Melvin Gallard and Jim Miller. Overall, though, I think it's kind of a weak debut on FX. Am I right? I mean, Gallard and Miller, they're not fighting in a title eliminator. There really aren't huge names on the card. I mean, I'm also looking forward to Dwayne Ludwig versus Josh Neer, don't get me wrong, and Pat Barry is always a fun guy to watch. But I actually feel like, oddly enough, the upcoming Fuel TV shows, which will be headlined by, what, Diego Sanchez, Martin right. Campman, and then the second one, Alexander Gustafsson, Little Nog, I think that those actually look like better cards on paper on, you know, a much smaller network in Fuel TV as opposed to, you know, the bigger network FX. I feel like they're kind of getting the shaft here.
Huh. Yeah.
You know, I agree with him. I agree with him completely. It's Diego Sanchez against Jake Ellenberger, but, you know, that's a huge fight. You're right, because Jake Ellenberger coming off his win with Jake Shields, I mean, he's a win away possibly from a title shot against the new interim champ, whoever that might be. So,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It looks like the Fuel show might be bigger than the FX show. But, you know, maybe they're trying to draw on the fact that Gallard's from The Ultimate Fighter, and maybe they think he's exciting and he'll draw ratings. I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the card sounds somewhat, but you know what? It gives us something to see on a Friday night, so we can't complain too much right now.
Yeah, and I also hope that people are aware that this is going on a Friday night. I mean, obviously
yeah.
We had this on a pay-per-view a few weeks ago at UFC 141 being on a Friday night. I just hope that people who aren't big MMA fans, I mean, already it might be tough enough to program MMA fans to say to themselves, okay, now to watch live shows, I don't go to Spike TV anymore. I go to FX and Fuel TV. That's going to be tough enough. Now, also programming fans to go there on a Friday night on occasion instead of Saturday nights. We're going to see a lot of Friday night shows with the Ultimate Fighter live fights coming up this season. It's going to be interesting to see how this show does. But, I mean, overall, I like the main event a lot. I mean, Melvin Gallard may be the most athletic fighter in the UFC's lightweight division. I mean, this guy has dynamite in both hands. He's extremely strong and physical, but we've seen him have a lot of mental lapses in the past. If he can get put on his back and taken out of his game, a lot of times he will kind of break mentally, and Jim Miller is really the opposite. Certainly not as dynamic of a striker as Melvin Gallard, but he's excellent on the ground. If he can get the fight there, I mean, he's not the best takedown artist in the world, but we've seen how Melvin does not deal well being on his back. If Miller can take the fight to the ground and work his type of fight, so to speak, it's going to be a really tough night for Gallard.
No doubt about that. But you said it was on Friday. Friday's not a bad day. When the UFC was on Versus, they had it on odd days. Sometimes they had it on Wednesdays and Sundays. So Friday's not too bad.
That's true. I mean, listen, I love watching fights on Fridays, and I've gotten used to watching the HDNet fights on Fridays week after week. They usually put on a couple shows per month. So it's not going to be a problem for me. I just hope that, you know, the idiots out there, you know, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but the people out there who don't follow it closely and go to the websites every day like you and I do, I hope they find it on a Friday.
Alex, your thoughts, since you and me are in the business, your thoughts on this ESPN segment they had. So some of the true diehard MMA fans are ticked off. They said that ESPN was kind of just putting out UFC on the spot and not giving them a nice story. They're being biased. That they should do the same with an NFL or an NBA. Your thoughts on this? Do you think they did a good job with this stuff?
Well, here, a couple big problems with that report. First and foremost, I mean, the guy that they interviewed all over that report was Ken Shamrock. Seriously, a guy who recently failed in a lawsuit against the UFC who has an axe to grind. That is not a credible source for material. Not to mention the fact that it's tough to really make an argument against the UFC and what they're paying fighters when they are, as was mentioned multiple times on the report, a privately owned company. They don't have to release their financial statements. And so really for them to assume that they're paying such a low percentage of their revenue to the fighters, it's just that. It's an assumption. They really don't know. And so, I mean, does fighter pay need to improve? Maybe. And if that's going to happen, though, I think that these fighters need to find a way to unionize. Now, that's a tough proposition because in order for a union to come together, the guys who are already making a lot of money and really have nothing to gain from it are the ones who need to be a part of it. Guys like John Jones, guys like George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, they need to kind of lead the movement to unionize, but the problem is they don't really have anything to gain from that.
Right, right. Because I think they're millions of dollars a check there might be cut a little bit more. But Lorenzo said that he's fine with that. He said he's okay with a union.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the right political answer to give. I mean, is he really okay with it? I don't know, but there would be really nothing he could do. But, you know, as far as the UFC pay structure to begin with, you also have to look at it like this. You know, ESPN pointing out that, you know, when guys are under their first contracts with the UFC before they move up in the world, so to speak, they make, what, $6,000 to show, $6,000 to win. That's actually not that unfair considering, A, guys who fight on Friday night fights in boxing on ESPN sometimes make as little as $200 per fight, plus the fact that these guys at the UFC are paying $6,000 to, that are paying the minimum to, they're not making money off those guys. I mean, those are the guys who are fighting on what the Facebook prelims are now the Fuel TV prelims who, you know, fans aren't going out of their way to watch anyway. They're not making money off those guys. They're basically paying those guys kind of a stipend to see whether or not they will improve their popularity and become guys that they do make money from in the future. I think it was Forrest Griffin who laid that out very well in the response video that the UFC offered just a day or two after the report came out. And I mean, I also thought the UFC's response, while it was powerful, again, we really don't know what they're paying guys because they're not releasing their financial statements. So I think that both sides of the argument look a little flawed to me.
But do you think that ESPN was just being a big bully, as Dana White said, that, you know, why, and some MMA fans have stated that, heck, if you do this for the UFC, why don't you do it for the NBA or the NFL? Why do you got to pick on the UFC?
That's true. And here's why I agree with that statement, only because we saw the report that ESPN put out on Outside the Lines. Then we saw the, so to speak, unedited footage that the UFC released with the entire interview between, I can't remember the gentleman's first name, Barr, with Lorenzo Fertitta. And in seeing, you know, the so-called unfiltered report, you saw how much they left out. It really did look like a hatchet piece to me where they, you know, chopped it where they saw fit to really make Lorenzo look bad. And I agree with Dana that Lorenzo shouldn't have done the interview to begin with. I mean, Dana White has come out and said that, you know, after a terrible report they did on him a couple of years ago, he has refused to go on ESPN to do an interview like that since. And I think Lorenzo now should do the same.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Alex Donald, check him out every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Fighters Fury on 790 a.m. The Ticket. That's every Sunday at 10 a.m. Alex, and you've been pretty busy over here locally. What have you been up to lately with the show and all that stuff? I know you've interviewed some great names.
Yeah, I do want to plug something that I should plug more often. You know, you mentioned my work on 790 The Ticket, the radio work I do, 10 a.m. every Sunday. And occasionally now we do pre-fight shows on Saturdays, like usually once a month for a big UFC show. Like we had one, you know, before UFC 142 this past Saturday. We do these live remote shows from different quarterdeck restaurant locations in South Florida. So keep your eyes out for that as well. And I do want to promote that I every week, like, you know, to preview what's coming up in a weekend in MMA. Like this week, I just wrote a column today about UFC on FX1. Check out my columns each and every week on a website called blacksportsonline.com. It's a good sports blog. They have a lot of sports gossip, and they're really increasing their MMA and boxing coverage. So every single week I write a UFC preview column on blacksportsonline.com.
Nice, Alex. Keeping busy. Well, Alex, and you got to let me know when you do the live coverage. I'd definitely like to be there, man. That's pretty cool stuff.
Well, yeah, and I've got, you know, at some point before WrestleMania, and I'm such a terrible wrestling fan, I don't even know when that is. I know it's in the spring. When's that coming up? Because I got to get you on my show before that.
April 1st, and we're getting geared up.
Well, at some point in March, I got to talk to you on the air because we got to get the scoop before WrestleMania.
A lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff. All the old school guys you probably used to see on TV, they're going to be here, all those guys. In fact, we just interviewed Billy Gunn and the Headbangers last night. Remember those guys?
Oh, that is awesome. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, right when, like, Billy Gunn was at his height was when I sort of stopped watching wrestling. So I have fond memories of the guy.
Let me tell you, the guy looks great in shape. He looks great in shape, amazingly enough. And, you know, we asked him one good question. And one thing that has been happening, and it's also happened in the UFC, especially recently with King Mo and Cyborg, getting caught with legal substance abuse, but it's also happened in the world wrestling entertainment. And back in the 80s and the 90s, a lot of these wrestlers, with Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon, they had the whole substance abuse stuff and the steroids, and they would take it to court. Well, funny, I mentioned this to Billy Gunn yesterday, and he said, you know what, there's just an issue there. These guys coming in need to get educated on stuff like that. So I'll be curious enough to find out exactly what type of policy they have with the UFC. Do they keep an eye on it? I know now they're getting very strict. They got strict in the UFC starting January 1st.
Yeah, I mean, they have a new policy. I don't know it by heart yet, but I mean, basically it's a smart thing. I mean, guys are going to be tested now well before their fight, before they sign on for a fight, and before they sign a new contract. And I think what that'll do is, I mean, it'll definitely keep guys on their toes more than they are already, and maybe you'll avoid running into the problem, because there's nothing more frustrating than having two guys fight, one guy wins, and then a week later you find out, oh, now the fight's a no contest because this guy tested positive. I mean, I'd much rather catch the guy beforehand and the fight never take place than have, you know, a King Mo versus Lorenz Larkin, which, you know, King Mo had a convincing victory, oh, but now the victory doesn't count. I kind of wish we'd never seen the fight in the first place.
Right. Yeah. So, interesting thought, and to hear from Billy Gunn itself was quite unique, and I'll be putting up the video soon in the interview. He said, you know, these guys just need to get educated, plain and simple. Alex, always a pleasure to have you here, man, and look forward to being on your program. And that's every Sunday at 10 a.m. Fighters Fury, or head on over to 790theticket.com or fightersfury.com. Check them out, and also check the columns there. What's that website again, Alex?
It's blacksportsonline.com.
BlackSportsOnline.com. There you go. Alex, always a pleasure, my man. And follow him on Twitter, too, AlexDonnell790. That's at AlexDonnell790. Alex, thanks so much, my man. We'll be in touch.
Pleasure was all mine. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk. All right, Guillermo. Well, we had a stacked show here tonight. And, boy, a lot of stuff, a lot of great guests. And I'm excited for tomorrow. Your final thoughts, Guillermo?
Yeah, just so everybody remember that even though the FX show starts at 9 p.m. tomorrow, the prelims start at 6 p.m. on Fuel TV. So that's really early. Some of you might still be at work or trying to get home, but the prelims start from 6 to 9 p.m. on Fuel TV, and then on FX from 9 p.m. onward for the main card. So keep that in mind.
Get those brewskis and chicken wings. We're going to watch some MMA tomorrow.
Yeah, with the prelims and with the actual card, it's going to be like 5-6 hours, man. That's a lot.
Okay. That is a lot, and Fuel TV has been putting out a lot of stuff. Sadly, unfortunately, not a lot of people have it, and that's why Dana White already stated, you know, head on over to DirecTV, because Dish, I believe, doesn't carry it.
Well, no, DirecTV has it in HD, but Dish Network, which is what I have, has it, you know, not HD, but regular, you know what I mean? So, right. You know, there's a few of them that don't have it at all, and with some of the providers, they do have it, but only if you have, like, a premium package. And you got to check with your provider. I have it. Luckily, I have it. I'm one of the 36 million homes or whatever that has it. But I know it's hard for a lot of people.
Yep. Check your local listings or call your cable provider or dish provider for information. All right, Guillermo, check it out next Tuesday, 10 p.m. at the Roman Show Pro Wrestling, where we're going to have some great pro wrestlers, including Raven. Remember Raven? Quote the Raven, nevermore, part of the flock. He's going to be part of the show. He'll be calling in. And next week here on the Roman Show, we're going to go local. We're going to interview Mike Bruno, who'll be fighting later this next month, actually. He'll be fighting in Fort Lauderdale. Mike Bruno, good friend of ours. And another gentleman who'll be fighting up for the XFC. So both guys will be here in the program, and we'll get their take. Guillermo, with that being said, good night. And everyone else out there, make sure you take care of yourself. And if you go watch a fight tomorrow at the bar, make sure you don't drink and drive. We'll see you next week. Good night, guys. If you missed the show, RodolphoRoman.com to catch the archive, or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Good night, guys.